100 years. Number one news for Vernon, Farmington, and South Windsor, the talk of Connecticut, AM 1360 and FM 103.3.
All right, so I don't know if you noticed this or not, but every Friday, we have been bringing in congressional candidates as well as candidates for U.S. Senate. I know there's one seat in the Senate that's up for grabs this November. That's Chris Murphy's seat, and we've already brought in Matt Corey, and we brought in Jerry Smith. So that's done. We brought in some congressional candidates: Mike Massey, who's running against Rosa DeLauro; Mike France, who is running against Joe Courtney; and we got a gentleman that's going to be coming in that's running against John Larson, right? Griffin?
Yeah, Jim Griffin.
Jim Griffin. He's coming in. Is it next week, I think?
I'm trying to get him for next Friday, or Mike Massey had to miss his last turn. One of them will be on for the next Friday.
But Mike Massey's already has been on.
He was on with us once, but it wasn't when we kicked off the series. That actually gave me the idea of, like, hey, we should just have everybody come in.
Well, and we're getting George Logan in, who, of course, is taking on Johanna Hayes. And he's been on with us in the past. That takes us to our next guest. Good morning. It's Gary Byron, 8:11 here on this Free for All Friday. Our next guest into the Daley Connerton Memorial Company Interview Chair is the Republican endorsed candidate for the 4th Congressional District. This is probably the district that gets the least talked about, at least around here, because I don't really think they're in our listening radius. Although, latest information that came out from Nielsen Ratings is that on our app and streaming on our website, more our Talk of Connecticut app, we have the same amount of listeners that listen on the app that listen on the terrestrial radio stations. We're on 4 frequencies. The other thing I want to add to that is of our listeners, the top 10 towns, number 6 is Fairfield that listen to this show. Now, terrestrial radio, it could never be possible because radio, we don't reach that. But because of the app and because of streaming, that's why it's in the best interest to have these candidates come in. Let's welcome to the show Bob McGuffey. Bob, good morning. Great to meet you.
Well, it's great to be in with you, Gary. I really appreciate it. And thanks for the shout out to my hometown, Fairfield.
Of course. I mean, we've got listeners, Aaron, right? Aaron calls at least once or twice a week. That's number of the top 10. I'm sure there's a master list somewhere. Somebody gave me the top 10 of the towns that listen to this show. And when I saw Fairfield as being 6th, I said, I think this is a mistake. Can you run these numbers through Nielsen again? And they're like, well, why is this a mistake? I did everything correctly. And I said, well, because it's really not in our listening radius. Like, that's the app. That's how strong. We have just as many listeners on the app as we do that listen on the radio. So these are accurate. So you are hitting a large part of your constituency.
Awesome. Because you don't get a lot of chance down there.
Right.
The media is tough on Republicans in the 4th District, as they are in the whole state.
All right, so let's talk about that first. Okay. Before we go into your policy and differentiating yourself from not only Jim Himes, but there's also another person that we had on a week ago, Goldstein, who is also a petitioning candidate, I believe, for your district. Let's talk about, though, the complete political makeup and how it's really gone from a deep red district once upon a time to pretty blue. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I call it blue captured. I cannot believe Connecticut is as blue as it appears to be. It's captured. It's a small state. It's 3.5 million people, 5 congressional, 2 Senate. It's just the right size petri dish to flood in and try stuff. And the American left has done that. They've encouraged media companies, corporate media, come in, buy all this. Hearst came in to Fairfield County, bought 13 of the 17 leading town papers in the district. So that's, Hearst corporate. They're sending their message out. The papers have kept their old mastheads. They bought them from the families, the 100-year-old papers, and they just do the corporate line, and they're left. They're supporting Democrats. Jim Himes gets some of his press releases. They'll take sentences straight out of them and put them right into articles as if they wrote them. So that's what we're fighting against. And, you know, it's great to be on with you and be able to get on air and alert to the people of the district that they're not well represented at all.
Well, please, you can't just leave. Don't leave me hanging on that. Why? How? How are they not represented at all?
Well, I would contend, and I do on the stump, that the people of the district would never pass the votes that Mr. Himes has taken. He's voted against Secure Border Act last year. He voted twice against expanding energy. He voted against the Parents' Bill of Rights. He voted against Real Women in Sports. He voted against the bill to prevent Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. He refused to freeze the Iranian assets here after they committed the atrocities of October 7th. He voted against the SAVE Act last two weeks ago,
right,
which required to vote you had to have proof of citizenship. And he did it twice. He did it a couple of months before in the D.C. for the D.C. municipal elections. They got the Congress voting on this stuff. So his votes would never pass. And, you know, the problem is people don't know the voting records and the papers never print them. And you'd think these guys would come back from Washington and they would circulate their voting records. They should. They should be obliged to circulate their voting records through the media. And they're not. And they're voting one way. And Himes is one of the best at it with the slick talking, easygoing, moderate, middle, reasonable guy, baloney. He's a hard left progressive activist.
It's funny because that's the same exact statement that Mike France, who was running against Joe Courtney, has said in the second congressional district, has said about Courtney.
Yeah.
That how Courtney is perceived in the media, very similar to how Jim Himes is perceived in the public via the local media. They paint him as a pretty bipartisan guy. He projects himself, Jim Himes, as a pretty bipartisan guy. He's a man of the people, and that he swings, he's a little left, he's a moderate left. But you're saying not only is that not the case, but you can prove that that's not the truth.
Absolutely. I always quote his voting record. That whole process is called gaslighting, Gary. I mean, and gaslighting is basically lying. It's just saying, listen to what I say and not what you see. And you know, again, they're slick talkers. Years ago, these guys would be pushed off the stage, but you don't have a media that's honest to hold them to task. So they vote hard left in Washington and come back and talk nice and easy. There's tons of them over in Jersey, Mikey Sherrill. You know, they position themselves as middle, moderate, whatever. Courtney does the same thing. Himes is very good at it. So is Chris Murphy. I mean, Chris Murphy, you know, Blumenthal is down the same lane, but he's less good at it and he trips over himself. But Murphy, when Himes first got elected and beat Chris Shays, and we went out to the town halls, he was not smooth. He was very nervous. And Murphy schooled him up. Him and Murphy are like spinning Marty. I mean, and Murphy schooled him up, got him on Twitter early. And, he insults his constituents on Twitter all the time. He acts so arrogantly and he puts down the conservative point of view as if it's ridiculous. And
so how do you combat that as a Republican candidate, Bob? How you can't get a press release in your local media papers through Hearst.
Yeah.
How? I mean, are you relying strictly on radio interviews? Because television's not going to give you any time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, unfortunately, I'm delayed from that for 3 months with this primary now. But I've done it before. And what you really have to do is you have to get in. You have to create an event. Get in the media. Create an event the media will cover. Say something strident, and it's easy with Mr. Himes because his voting record is so bad. Then they'll come at you and think they're going to push you back, and then you deal with them. And I'm not afraid of that. In order to win this thing, you're going to have to take the media on down there. You're going to have to take Mr. Himes on. You're going to have to find some people that'll go into his events and challenge him, and then make the counter argument. Both paid media, I obviously need to raise a lot of funds to do paid media, but nobody even tries down there. And that's why I got in the race. There's been seven candidates. I've helped them all go up against Mr. Himes. I've gave them briefing books on Himes, and probably I know Himes better than any Republican in the district.
Well, Dr. Michael Goldstein, Okay, he's tried a few times. He's run a few times. Have you, did you ever help him? Because now you're running against him in this primary.
No, he this is his third time around. During the pandemic, I never even got to meet the guy that was nominated, Riddle, John Riddle, because of the pandemic. It was a mess. And then Goldstein came in the last time. I was helping Jamie Stevenson. Very intelligent, great record and everything else. Mm-hmm. You know, and I knew who she was. And I said, look, you got to take this guy on. I thought she had a good enough profile.
I did too.
And Goldstein was coming out of left field. I mean, you know, he didn't even get 15% in the convention in 22. And he went and he filled out petitions and got on a primary ballot and pushed. And so anyway, Jamie won. The primary went on. But she did not prosecute the case the way I would have. And, you know, so I watched the aftermath of that over the Christmas holidays in the end of 22. And I said, you know, after all these years, I was a Tea Party organizer. I'm a known quantity in the district since 09. I'm publicly documented constitutional conservative. And so I said, listen, I got to do this now. People had asked me years ago, but you wouldn't even be able to get the nomination. You wouldn't get past some of the establishment figures. So I got in March of 23. And you would think after a year of me on the trail, putting it to Himes, showing what I've got and how I would run a race, that Goldstein wouldn't get in again. He got in again, you know. So I got to deal with this stuff.
All right. Well, I'll listen. I'm going to ask one final question about him, because in order to get to Jim Himes, you got to get through the primary first, and then we'll go and concentrate on your campaign. How would you then? You're both Republican. How would you differentiate yourself from Goldstein?
I'm the fighting constitutional conservative, no doubt about it. He's taking the middle ground now. He's taking that middle road. He believes that the unaffiliated, 40% of the electorate in this state, are you know, mushy middle. You know, they don't have any principles. That's not true. There may be some in there. Unaffiliated people do not affiliate with the Democrat Party because they see them as deceptive, and the last few years clearly on the wrong track. And they don't go to the Republican side because the complaint always is the Republicans don't stand up against this, and those that do don't follow through. And that's the difference. He thinks that's the way to go. He's written articles about building consensus with the other side. There's no consensus to be built with a Democrat Party who seeks the vanquishment of the Republicans.
All right. Let's do this. I got to take a short break. It's only about a minute long. When we come back, I want to find out more about you, Bob. Who is Bob McGuffey? You said you're kind of a big fish in a little pond down in your neck of the woods, but people around here aren't familiar with your name, your background, where you're from, and what you have done for a career. More with Bob McGuffey. He's running for the 4th Congressional District. In fact, he is the endorsed Republican candidate to challenge Jim Himes. More with him right after this.
Do you own a property with a telecommunication lease to AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile? Maybe it's ground space for a radio tower or a rooftop with antennas. You can get paid up to 17 years up front and use the money today. Selling your telecommunication leases just makes sense, since there's been massive consolidation with now only 3 main providers. Capital gains are the lowest ever. Find out more, get a site visit and on-the-spot cash offer at sellleases.net. That's sellleases.net.
When shopping for appliances, Ferraris will be the only stop you'll need to make. Summer's here, and it's time to get your new grill or air conditioner. Ferraris Appliance has all the big-name brands, including Weber and Napoleon Grills, at the price you can afford. And they install and service everything they sell. Enough with the pushy salespeople and impersonal customer service at those big box stores. Head to Ferraris Appliance in Newington or Naugatuck and discover why people from all over choose them over everyone else. Online at FerrarisAppliance.com.
A smarter way to start the day. Gary Byron and the Talk of Connecticut. Listen without a subscription on the Talk of Connecticut free listening app.
24 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, our guest is Bob McGuffey. He is the Republican-endorsed candidate for the 4th Congressional District to challenge Jim Himes this upcoming November. By the way, we do go to open phones at the bottom half of the hour. As always, since he is live in studio, he wants to take your phone calls. If you want to call now, get in the queue, 860-243-1360. Bob, you're probably one of the few candidates that I know very little about. And even in conducting some research for our interview this morning, there's little to be found on you. Sure. So let's start with where you grew up and your career. What's led you to where you are right now?
Well, I grew up in Flushing, Queens, and I went to Archbishop Molloy High School, which is a pretty well-known school down there, a tough place to get in and tough to hold on in there, but it was a great education, and I got interested in politics really there. I went to an English teacher one day held up an Ayn Rand book, and so the politics was divisive in the late 60s and everything, and I said, I'm on that side, individual freedom. That's where I'm at. So I never had to travel that liberal road. And I was very interested, and my dad got me into current events. I watched every single presidential address. I was always trying to figure out what is going on. And by the early 70s, I was pretty well into it, read many books. I continue to read tons of books. So I've always been interested in politics. And I moved out of the house when I was 20. And I got a job. I was a draftsman, and I went to night school. And for the whole BA and the whole MBA, 12 years. And I graduated from NYU. I went to Queens College, NYU. I came out with a master's in finance. I was involved in working for major corporations in Manhattan and banking, and always interested in politics. I was libertarian. I was libertarian. I remember when the party was formed, I used to vote libertarian. I knew early on in the early 70s that both parties were playing games on us. And, you know, the Republicans were playing opposition. And so I was a libertarian, and I voted many times. I voted for Brown and Moreau and Ron Paul and all of them they put up. But at any rate, that was my hobby. I moved through corporate finance. I got to Connecticut in 93. I took a job with GE Capital when they were running and gunning and really building the place out under Jack Welch and Gary Wendt, and I was on the deal team that bought insurance companies, and it was an awful lot of fun. I had an insurance background in corporate finance. And so that's how I came to Connecticut. I came to Fairfield in 93. I've been here 31 years sure. now. It's beautiful. You know, and my taxes have done nothing but go up, you know, since I got here, property tax. You know, give me a break. You know, they've tripled since I moved in. And, you know, so when the Tea Party emerged, you know, once, you know, we were watching this whole leftist thing through move through all the institutions. When the Tea Party emerged, I didn't need them to do it. Over the winter of 8 into 9, we formed a group. And so I became one of the leaders of the Tea Party. I wrote a controversial memo at the time which said, go in your town halls and challenge these guys. Whoa, that's so, you know, controversial. The media made it out to be. But that's how I got media attention.
Oh, okay, so that's were you a draftsman? Is that what you said you were?
Oh, well, I was early on when I was going to school, yeah, and then I got into finance.
Okay.
Yeah, I got into finance in the mid-70s.
And I like the story where you dabbled into politics, but what led you to get out of the frying pan and into the fire?
Well,
what led you to actually be a candidate and not necessarily helping someone else behind the scenes get elected?
Yeah, well, I was an activist from 09 right on through.
A libertarian activist.
Well, I listen, in the 90s, I traveled the road from libertarian to conservatism. And I saw,
what led you to that road?
Well, what was happening, and people like Pat Buchanan that had said, look, they're taking the culture over here. And he's looking at the border as well. He says, this is the long-term plan, but it's happening. Because I was a libertarian, and I started realizing I'm conservative. I'm a pure conservative, constitutional conservative, social.
And you didn't know it at the time? Is that?
Well, no, I really transited over because, you know, I thought you could be socially liberal, fiscally conservative.
Heard that many times.
Right, but that was the libertarian position, and I used to champion that. But we were being abused by the American left, moving through the institutions, indoctrinating in the schools and everything else. And Buchanan was right, you know, and others, many others. And then by the end of the 90s, I was a solid conservative, you know. I mean, I was all for Ronald Reagan, you know. I mean, what a leader.
Yeah, who wasn't, though?
Yeah, what a leader, right? You know, we came out of the 80s, but once Clinton came in the early 90s, you know, he gave the money and air cover to advance the leftist agenda, and you could see it coming. So, you know, so then I was a constitutional conservative, and then Obama gets elected, and we knew, you know, all you had to know is his background in Chicago, and you know what he was all about. Very slick one. That's when we formed the group and came out in public. And suddenly, by the spring of 09, there were groups popping up all over the place. And we joined together in what was called the Tea Party and all. I ended up you know, because I was articulate and all the rest. I was in the head of it. You know?
That must not resonate too well right now, especially in your neck of the woods, because they have gone rather blue. Yeah. I'm talking about your Tea Party.
Yeah, well, the Tea Party was right. I wrote an article on it.
Well, they may have been right.
We were right on everything.
I could say I'm right as a Yankee fan, but saying that up in Boston, I'm not right up there. All right, so I got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to find out now, should you get elected or when you get elected, what would you like to implement? How would you vote? And your calls are next.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former President Barack Obama with his wife, Michelle.